Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined today with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Pat's, and our pastor, Father Stephen Alcott. Let's start in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So today, we have an endgame topic. And what I mean is that often when we see Jesus depicted, and I'm not talking about in the church, but in sappy greeting cards from a chain store. It's our buddy Jesus. And there's a truth in that God calls us to the spiritual good, a friendship with himself. And that's a noble thing. It's the fulfillment of who we are to become true friends in the deepest sense of Jesus Christ. But to see him simply as our buddy, slapping us on the back and going, do whatever you want because I'm your friend. That's really to water it down, because we also need to remember that Jesus Christ will be our judge at the end of our lives and at the end of time. So today we want to talk about that. We want to talk about Judgment Day. So any initial thoughts, Father Jerome, on judgment?
At our... the moment, sometimes people might ask when the question could be, you die, what happens next?
Yeah, break that down for us. I think that's a great way to go. So somebody dies, Joe Smith dies. Sorry if your name's Joe Smith out there. I'm just picking a random name. And he dies. And what happens at that moment? Like, break it down for us.
Yeah. So the moment you die, the moment everyone dies, you're going to see Jesus. And the first thing will be, you will be presented with your judgment as seen through the eyes of Jesus. So, you could explain it as your whole life flashing before your eyes. And yes, it will be like that. Like, basically our whole lives will flash before our eyes, and we'll see the state of our soul exactly as Jesus sees it.
Mm-hmm. I think of that as really what Jesus will be doing, is revealing ourselves to us, because often in our lives we hide from the truths we know about ourselves. Our knowledge is so imperfect about ourselves. We often fail to understand why we do what we do. We fill our lives with rationalizations oftentimes, and Jesus cuts through all that and shows that who we are based on all the decisions we've made in every day of our lives, who have we become? And he reveals that to us. He tells us who we are, and that's really the judgment.
Yes. Yes, that's right. So basically there will be, I imagine, a kind of a conversation. It wouldn't be wordless. I mean, speculating a little here, but I think that'll be the first thing. We'll see the state of our soul, and that will have a consequence that we will immediately know and be certain of. So, and it won't be, am I seeing Jesus? Is this real? No, we will know for sure this is real. That will be, an inner light will be given whereby we'll have certainty this is real. And, if someone, let's say someone was not Christian, or maybe they were an atheist, they will in that instant know the truth about God and the truth of that Jesus is God, and they'll see themselves in the light of the truth, basically, the Catholic Church teaches. So it'll be really startling for some people. It'll be startling for all of us. Let's be honest. But... And then
And what I always think of in that moment, you know, is to truly throw yourself on Christ's mercy, to say, like Thomas, my Lord and my God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, that, you know, to really, if you've lived a life with Christ, lived a life for the truth, to not be afraid of that moment, because if we're living, seeking the face of God in our lives, then that's the moment where we see Christ face to face. So it's a moment of joy that God we've been living with by faith, we're in that moment going to see face to face. And it's a great moment of joy if you've been seeking Christ and staying friends with him throughout your life. Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of fear, unless you've been fearing God's judgment and not lived a Christian life and don't want to see God. But if you want to see God, if that's what you've been striving for, then it's a moment of joy.
Mm-hmm.
So not to see this just as, oh boy, I'm so scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's going to be a natural reaction based on whatever the judgment is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, our Lord can give someone a second chance, obviously. And, you know, I have heard of a near-death experience where that happened. I'm not saying this is real, but it could happen where, you know, for example, I heard a story of a man he died, and that's what happened. He saw his whole life flash before his eyes, and our Lord said, I gave you so many gifts, I gave you so many talents, and you have not chosen wisely.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was given a second chance, right? I don't know if that's true or not, but that could happen, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a time when that's it, like time's up. Mm-hmm. And so the judgment will be either, though unlikely, you know, we see ourselves as absolutely beautiful in the state of grace, and we're ready, like, for the beatific vision.
That's the state you want to prepare yourself for now.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and we're just overflowing with joy, and we're totally prepared. So we don't even have to stop in purgatory. We go straight to heaven. And so if that happens, you go straight to heaven.
That's someone that really lived life to the fullest, that really, really was a saint in this life, and then nailed the landing at the end.
Yeah, that's right. So you would immediately be welcomed into heaven. You would immediately see God face to face. You would know him even as you are known by God, as St. John says. You would immediately see Mary and all the angels and saints in heaven. You would see your whole life as...
And I imagine that as well you'd see the patrons, the great saints that provided for you, like your baptismal and confirmation patrons, there to welcome you. That those people you've relied on your whole life, you meet face to face as well.
Yes. And all your family members who had died before, who are in heaven, everyone. And it would just be, you know, the conversation would go on and it would be awesome. But you'd immediately go to heaven.
You'd enter eternity and it would be all good. All right. What about another? That's your best case scenario. That's what we're preparing ourselves for. That's what we live the spiritual life to be in that situation. In other words, to accept Christ's salvation and go immediately into heaven.
Right.
Now there's other possibilities.
Just one other comment about that. Like, I mean, you'd hear Christ say basically, you know, you are my beloved son, or you are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased.
Yeah, or well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me, your life would flash before your eyes. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was, you know, when I was imprisoned, you visited me, all of these things. All right. It's great to try to imagine that, to, you know, work up our hope for that.
And meditate on that. Even.
Yeah, yeah.
Let it inform our imaginations.
Right. Secondly, you could see your whole life flash before your eyes. And again, you see yourself in the state of grace. You see that... You know, any sins you committed, you repented of, and there are no unconfessed serious sins. You're in a state of grace, so you made it. And that
this is a good outcome too.
Yes, it is. And you know, it would be overwhelming joy. You know, forever now, you will be perfectly happy for all eternity, and it's never going to end. And you see Jesus as he is, and you know this is your destiny, and there's no doubt about it, and nothing can stop it. You'll never sin again. So that overwhelms you with joy. I mean, this is the greatest news anyone could ever receive. But, you know, there are attachments to sins, and like your soul is not prepared yet for the glory of heaven. There is some purification that needs to be done for you to be comfortable and
for you to come back to full health.
Yeah.
To be strengthened.
Yeah.
And fully alive and fully yourself. God's gonna not put you in beneath your total potential, but he's gonna help you get to where you need to be, and this is purgatory.
Right, right. So, yes, that's a good analogy. It's like you're sick, and you need some time to recover your full health until you can really receive the gift of heaven. And you will know exactly why, that you will know, like, basically what that means, like what kind of purification is necessary, how extensive it is, it must be. And it's either going to be just a little thing, or it's going to be a pretty serious.
But either way, you do it with joy, because you know it's God giving you the strength to enter into heaven.
Yeah.
So there's no sadness in purgatory.
Yeah, there is pain in purgatory, but it is, yes, it is. I mean, that joy of knowing this is temporary, and I'm destined for heaven, which will last forever. That really is a great counterbalance, but it is worth noting. I mean, the pain is intense because you see Christ, you see, you know, everything you were meant for, but you also see that you want it so badly, but you're going to have to wait, and it's going to be really painful because your desires are fully awakened, and you're going to have some time before.
A great story, if you're interested in purgatory, a great allegory on it is a short story by J.R.R. Tolkien, A Leaf by Niggle. You could probably find it online. But I think it's a great allegory to understand purgatory. And any comments, Father Stephen?
On purgatory, yes. You can see it as analogous to, like, when we go to confession. You know, if we express genuine sorrow for our sins, you know, we're forgiven. But then there's that amendment of life. You know, we can be forgiven of our sins, but we might still have an attachment to sin. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, when a lot of indulgences, it says not only do you need to fulfill, you know, the time-honored deeds that are required for this indulgence, but you also must, you know, do your best to avoid any attachment to sin. Like, sort of like if you're sorry for something, but then you still have to make amends. You have to detach from whatever it is in your life. And purgatory is kind of like that. It gives us a chance to let go of those things so that we can't grasp anymore.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined today with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Pat's, and our pastor, Father Stephen Alcott. We've been talking about judgment, what happens at the end of our lives, and we're talking specifically now about purgatory, and Father Stephen was helping us know exactly what's going on in purgatory.
Right. It's a letting go of what we cannot take with us to heaven, whether that's a grudge or an attachment or vanity, mm-hmm. or anything that is not really doesn't really fit there, or some way. So it's a way that we do need to make amendment.
Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense, because what really sets us in heaven is a charity, a sharing in God's love, of being able to give all of ourselves to God, and therefore to be like the Trinity itself to a certain degree in a creaturely way, because the Trinity is a procession as love. It's a God of love himself. And so if our love is weak, if it's split and not fully on God, but also to attachments and loves to things of this world beyond their due, then God's going to want to correct that so that we can live most perfectly in heaven. And that's the healing that takes place in purgatory, is teaching us to love how we need to love in order to truly live in the inner life of God in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So those are two options. So we've been talking about what happens when we die. You immediately face Christ. You can go directly into heaven because you're totally prepared. God could say, you're going to go to heaven, but we need to prepare you a little bit. So here's purgatory to get you up to speed. There's one last option, possibility here.
Yeah, and I'll let St. Augustine speak to this one.
Okay.
this is in the Catechism. He says, all that the wicked do is recorded, and they do not know. When our God comes, he does not keep silence. He will turn towards those at his left hand and say, I place my poor little ones on earth for you. I, as their head, was seated in heaven at the right hand of my Father, but on earth my members were suffering. My members on earth were in need. If you gave anything to my members, what you gave would reach their head. Would that you had known that my little ones were in need when I placed them on earth for you and appointed them your stewards to bring your good works into my treasury. But you have placed nothing in their hands. Therefore, you have found nothing in my presence. So I think that possibility of eternal separation from God, also known as hell, it's not as if God decides that he doesn't like you. It's more that you've already decided with your whole life not to accept all of the grace or all of the great opportunities he's given you. And so it's a revelation of an absence. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a revelation of an absence of a good that should have been there. And the absence is not just by mistake. The absence is by choice.
And in that particular judgment you face at death, when God reveals who you truly are, it's not as if you're going to say, no, that's not right, because you'll instantly see that he's correct. I mean, he's God. He knows your soul better than you do. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He holds us in existence. And so those people who get the news that they've rejected God, they will see in that instant of their judgment the truth of that judgment. And in fact, those that will choose damnation themselves, it is something they've chosen, and that they will, even though they dread hell, they also desire hell because of that's the person they made themselves. That's what they've willed throughout their lives. That's what led them to that particular judgment. And so their will is set at that moment by what they did in their lives, by their use of their own freedom. And so it's not as if they're going to say, no, you're wrong, God. No, they're going to desire what they've desired in their life, and that is to reject God.
Yeah, and I do think it's totally their decision. It's totally due to a lack of love whereby one is not able to have any communion with God. It's totally their decision. God condemns no man, but people do and can't. I mean, people could condemn themselves. But it does. I mean, it is something to be feared, like really feared, as even the saints feared it. And I mean, I would invite anyone to like look up what does the scripture say about hell. And I mean, it again and again, it's described as a place of fire, like burning fire, that lasts forever, like a lake of fire where there will be gnashing and grinding of teeth. I mean, someone might think, oh, that's not so bad. I'll just, you know, not be in God's presence. You know, if you think of it and it's something that people choose, I'd never choose hell. Well, okay. I mean,
well, here's the thing. It's right to dread hell.
Yes.
Because it's a dreadful place. But there has to be more to our spiritual life than fear of hell. There also has to be love for God.
Right.
And that's really what compels us in our spiritual life, is that we encounter God's love for us and respond to that love by loving God in return.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then you will become friends with Jesus Christ, friends with God. And if you follow that path, that will lead you not to the place of dread, but to the place of eternal peace and joy. And everyone listening to the show right now is alive. And that means everyone, no matter where you are in your own life, can turn towards Jesus Christ and encounter his love and turn towards that joy and peace he calls us to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I think of that's an excellent point about it's about love in the end, but part of what we believe about love is that love is a very, very serious thing. It's mm-hmm. a beautiful thing. It's a very serious thing.
It's like not soppy.
Right. Exactly. And God takes it very seriously. I mean, anyone who really loves another person, you know, a parent who loves their child, you know, a wife who loves her husband, a husband who loves his wife, there are times in their lives where they know that's a very serious thing, that has very serious consequences in mm-hmm. their life. It's not some days that might seem kind of like you might almost take it for granted, but there are times in your life where that's a very serious thing. And I think if any of you have ever been to the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, there's this huge mosaic, you know, right behind the altar in the dome of Christ, it's sort of like Christ, you know, coming at the end of time, you know, in the last judgment. And many people look at that and they see that it seems kind of frightening, you know, and whatever the merits of the art, you know, that's up to people that know better than I do. But to me, I think of the fact that God takes love very seriously, that love is not something we can just give lip service to. You know, it's something mm-hmm. that really has to have a manifestation in our lives. And that's why the church, in preparing people, the church is always preparing people for that day, that judgment. Every time we pray the Hail Mary, you know, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. And there's a beautiful prayer that priests say when they give the last rites to someone who's dying. It's called the prayer of commendation. If you notice, it's a prayer that is very encouraging. You know, we offer them the apostolic pardon, you know, giving them all that we can in the power of the church to release them from any punishment due to sin. And we say we can say these words: "Go forth, Christian soul, from this world in the name of God, the Almighty Father, who created you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who suffered for you in the name of the Holy Spirit, who was poured forth out upon you. Go forth, faithful Christian. May you live in peace this day. May your home be with God in Zion, with Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, with Joseph and all the angels and saints. May you return to your Creator who formed you from the dust of the earth. May Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints come to meet you as you go forth from this life. May you see your Redeemer face to face." Mm-hmm. The church prepares people for this, that it's very serious, but it's serious because it's love.
Yeah, it's not simply sentimentalism or being nice, but being willing to suffer, giving all of yourself for the welfare of another person. And so that's why love is stronger than death, because it's not mere niceness, but a total gift of self or to another person, to God and to neighbor. Now, we have just a few minutes left, but we've only gotten through half of this topic. We've been talking about the particular judgment, but there's also the general judgment. What does the church mean? What does that part of Revelation tell us about what's going to happen?
Yeah, well, the church just repeats what Scripture says, basically, which is that on the last day...
The last day of what?
Of time. Christ will appear before all. The dead will be raised. Those who have died and who are already in heaven will receive their bodies for the first time, their resurrected bodies. They won't have bodies until that time, but they'll receive their resurrected bodies. And the souls that are in purgatory, that will be the end, de facto end of purgatory. So they will also receive their resurrected bodies.
Now, what about those people still on earth at the final moment?
And the people on earth will receive their particular judgment mm-hmm. for the first time. And then also the souls those who will go to hell will receive bodies which will I mean, the church teaches me it'll be a cause of pain for them, actually.
And just in the same way that those in heaven receiving their bodies, it'll be a cause of joy.
A cause of great joy and pleasure. Yeah. Yes. So that'll happen. Everyone will see, you know, that everything will be made known at that time to mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm.
The ultimate meaning of the whole work of creation, it will understand the marvelous ways by which its providence led everything towards its final end. The Last Judgment will reveal that God's justice triumphs over all the injustices committed by his creatures and that God's love is stronger than death, quote from the Catechism.
Yep. So we'll receive the new heavens, the new earth, that all the souls in heaven will have eternal joy and peace. And this is what we're preparing our lives for now, so that when we reach our particular judgment, we take part in that eternal life of God for all eternity. And that's the communion of saints. That's our destiny. And all we have to do is to say yes to Jesus Christ and follow his way. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I've been joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Pat's, and Father Stephen Alcott, the pastor of St. Patrick's. Let us now end in prayer. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom, preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte Spiritus, Veni Penaria. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit.
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.